once again, just want to introduce Nate. That's all you, buddy.
How you doing? I'm Nate. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here. I really am. This meeting means a lot to me. The guys in here mean a lot to me. I don't get to see anybody or see these guys too often or be at this meeting because of my parenting schedule. But I know I know 1,000% that if it wasn't for these men, this process, and the guy that lived across the street from me, I'd probably be dead. My sobriety day is 1/1/2011, and that wasn't by design. That was just an awful New Year's Eve, just absolutely awful. And that was my last drink, and it wasn't a New Year's resolution, and it wasn't my typical, I'll just drink this one last time. It was like I came to in a hospital. I left with my daughter. I didn't know where she was. She was like 2 or 3 at the time. I was like, all these IVs. I ripped them all out. I ran down the street to my brother's house barefoot. The, cops are chasing me, and it only got worse from there, And I'll never forget coming to in that hospital gurney and being like, shit, where the fuck is my daughter? I had plenty of oh shit moments before in my life. I had like a million of them, But I'll never forget that one. It was like, oh man, I've done it. this guy Warren, who's not around, he used to say, I don't remember having a drink in preschool, but I sure could have used one. And I was an alcoholic from the jump, There's no doubt about it. And I was just different, man. Just extremely restless, irritable, and discontent for as long as I could remember. And it wasn't like I was like 5 or 6 or 7 years old being like, well, I feel restless, irritable, and discontent today. I was just like, I just always had to be moving. I was always into something. There was always something going on. And those things just got worse and worse and worse. And like what I knew is like alcohol and drugs made me feel better, feel accepted and loved, and all this other stuff that I needed that I wasn't getting. And, alcohol and drugs were a huge part of my life, obviously. My first drink at 12, my first rehab at 16. From 16 to 31, I tried to figure out, how to drink in safety, whatever that means. And I just couldn't figure it out, It was just like, I honest to God, I thought it was like a magical combination of something that would, I was just constantly the jaywalker, trying to find something, that perfect combination that would make me less irritable, less restless, and less discontent, And again, it wasn't like I was naming this stuff. It wasn't like, it was just, I just had this undercurrent of fear and anxiety and anger and rage and confusion. And like, I never really knew how to emotionally feel at the time. It was just a constant flow of confusion, really, to be quite honest with you. And alcohol and drugs made that better, And I had, basically every guy in this book one way or another. I had brief intermissions of sobriety, of not drinking, of not drugging. And then whatever I did it to the extreme. If I boxed, well, I bought wraps, I bought gloves, I bought hats, I bought t-shirts, I talked about boxing, breathed about, I found it just something else to transfer me into getting away from myself. Something else that allowed me to be less irritable, less restless, and less discontent. And those things work great until they stop working, it was food, it was women, it was sex, it was drugs, it was alcohol, it was money, it was making money, it was spending money, it was whatever it was just brief and swift and never lasted. And before you know it, I had that really smart idea that I'll just go out for a couple of drinks, And then when I did, it was just a series of problems. And I, you know, briefly into the drug scene, I loved cocaine. And that was just a conduit for me to drink more and more and more and more. You know, so I would go with these, you know, 3-4 months, which felt like an eternity. And then when I started drinking it, I'd start with the blow, and then I'd be gone for 4 or 5 days, caused a massive amounts of destruction in my life. Anything I just worked for, I just tore it all apart. And then go in hiding for, like, you know, another 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 months. So it was like just a series of these ups and downs, and boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And if I, like, if you graphed my drinking in my life, if I was like a stock, this is what this would look like. You know what I mean? But I just kept going down and down and down. And finally, it was that New Year's Eve. I went out. I had no friends. So, I was always like a really ambitious person. And at 25, I was like, at 30, I'm going to have $1 million in my bank account. Right? And I did all the, you know, whatever, car business and just tons of things that were like a complete alcoholic life. So long story short, at 31, I was like $1,030,000 short of that $1 million. And that might be an understatement, you know. I was in my father's basement. There was no job. There was no car. There was no license. And like, I was hiding from my 2-year-old daughter because I was beaten. So I was like, just pulverized by, on top of that, beaten up by a kid who had no business beating me up. But my claim to fame was like, you know, just sober enough to start a fight, but too drunk to finish it. You know what I mean? And like, I got fucking pummeled. And like, you know, like I have a little girl and she's 12 now, you know, but like, I am now, I'm Superman to that girl. And I was hiding from her. You know what I mean? Because I was so badly beaten up, I couldn't let her see me like that, in that condition. And I remember sitting in my father's basement with the lights off, in a twin bed, in his basement, crying while I heard him chase her in a very obviously loving way. You know, they were playing and they're running up and down and up and down. You know, and I'll never forget that moment. And I, you know, little did I know that was the moment I was beaten into a state of reasonableness, that I might have a drug and alcohol problem. Maybe my life could get a little better than it was. You know what I mean? And one thing I knew for sure is I always had God in my life at some capacity. I grew up Pentecostal, which is basically like baptism or Baptist on steroids. It's a little heavy duty. But like, and I never, you know, whatever, kudos to all religions, but like, I always had some form of belief of God, and I knew that I was always, I knew I was living below my potential. I just knew it, you know. And I finally had, there was that point of intersect where desperation, like, meant reality, you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, maybe it's time, you know what I mean? And I was touched by the grace of God. So this is why, like, I didn't know anybody in Yarmouth. My father just married and relocated himself to Yarmouth. Nobody in my, I'm from Falmouth originally, and nobody in my family or my friends wanted to deal with me. So I had to move to Yarmouth on top of this lady who was like my stepmom, who it took me like for a long time to say that, live in their basement and not be around anybody I ever met. And I remember... You know, before that, I'd lived there. So the street was like this. It was a curve. The house faced this way. And every time I walked to the kitchen, I looked across the way, and I'd see this guy's house. And it was a nice house, a beautiful yard. I swear he's part Portuguese because he had his driveway was spotless all the time. You know what I mean? It was like just spotless, beautiful landscape and like... And the guy had a bunch of friends over, and naturally I was like, fuck this guy. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you, lad. Fuck your clean cars and all your friends. And like, you know, like, and I really like silently hated him. And then like, I started going to meetings, and then I saw him at a meeting, And he's like, hey, don't you live over there? Like, and of course I didn't have the balls, but like, fuck you. I was like, yeah, yeah, hey, good to see you. You know what I mean? So, like, I saw him around. I liked the guy. Good looking guy, smart. Like, everybody liked him. And I asked him to be my sponsor. And then he, for the first time, like, I didn't know what the hell I was getting into. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't know. You know what I mean? I just knew that I had enough, and I wanted what this guy had. And then he brought me down to the men's meeting in Hyannis, where it was at the time, where this meeting took place in Hyannis. And I was absolutely blown away by, they were on the fourth step. They were talking about the sex part, and I was blown away how everybody was being so honest and talking about stuff that was really, really private, you know? And, you know, I grew up framing houses and shit like that. So everything was about bravado and how, you know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And the stuff they were talking about to this day was like I was like, holy shit. And like, I didn't realize this till much later, but one thing that really blew my mind, and it took about 7 years to figure out, there's a verse in the, or a scripture in the Bible, and it says, be still and know that I am God. And one thing that always blew my mind, and I didn't figure out till a couple years ago, that most of the guys in that room was still. They were okay. You know what I mean? It wasn't, they were just okay. They all sat with their legs crossed. I was like, well, that's a little weird, but like, you know, like, but they were just comfortable and they just were okay with themselves, you know? And that's what I wanted. I just wanted to be okay. I just wanted to be fucking normal on some level. I mean, I missed, but like, I've gotten a lot better than I ever was. That's for sure. So I found Big Book. I found the steps. I found the process. I started reading about this, about alcoholism and what it's like. And I was like, when I'd read this book, you like look over your shoulder, like, what the fuck? Like, who wrote this about me? You know what I mean? Like, how has this book been in existence for this long? If I'm only, you know, I'm 39 now and I've got 9 years. So I'm like 30 years old. How has this book been along? You know what I mean? And it was just little, small, incremental growth, you know? And then like that, all those like expressions you see in like, trust God and don't leave before the miracle and all that other stuff is 100% true, you know? And I don't know where I'd be without this process. I'd be fucking dead. There's no doubt about it. I've fucked up life and sobriety so many different ways, but I never drank, you know, and I could like constantly evolve my spiritual life. And I got better just a little bit, little increments at a time. As far as the third step's concerned, for all you you know, Big Book Nazis, I promise I'll talk about the third step. So like the third step, right? I remember sharing about it in this room when I first got done with it, and first got done with the fifth step. And like I wanted the miracle so bad, I kind of manifested like, oh yeah, well, you know, I remember being able to speak and I spoke about it, and it was like, oh, it was magical. I floated and I slept like a baby. And all. None of that happened, right? Like, I go through step one, go through steps two. I sat down with my sponsor. We went over, you know, the covenant that I made with God. The contract that, like, it was like, you do this, you get better, and you help other people. You know? And what I found this third step prayer to be really is like a shield. You know, a shield and a sword. You know? And, like, without this, I really wouldn't have been able to write my third step to the level, or my fourth step rather, to the level I wrote my fourth step. You know, I came in here drug and alcohol reliant. I started to become like sponsor reliant. And through this process, and through the third step in particular, I started to become God reliant. And that God reliance happened just a little bit at a time with every session that I had and didn't have, you know, one way or another, you know. I would pray, I would do this, I would do the third step prayer, and I ask God to work through me, right? To guide my heart, my mind, my soul, and guide the pen to this paper. That's a little add-on that I'd add on and then I would write. And the miracle about that is like you start at one end you continue to grow this, say this praise, you continue to grow spiritually, and but your four-step grows along with it, and your God reliance grows along with it. And I remember doing my fifth step and being like, holy shit, like I wrote that? Like that's pretty fucking, that's pretty good. You know, like that was like way above my pay grade. You know what I mean? And it's like, and a lot of it had to do, you know, not a lot of it, all of it really had to do with that connection that I was making with my higher power, who I choose to call God. And the deeper that I got with that, and the more that I grew, and the more my spirituality evolved and my connection grew with him, the deeper I could write. Now that started off really, really rough, you know, and this design, this process is exactly the way it should be. We don't need to add anything to it. You know what I mean? And like, thank God we just start with the names, right? Cause you could start flying through the names and like, yeah, fuck him and them and this girl and blah, blah, you know what I mean? But like, you know, obviously all that changes, but like, you know, you just start every time I would start my prayer or start my writing, I would say that prayer. And every time I took a break, I'd be on my knees, I'd say that prayer again. And anytime I got stuck and snagged up on something, I would say that prayer. And I continued to use that prayer to help me to get through this. Because we're dealing, just, you know, everybody's four steps different. Everybody's got different traumas and problems and, you know, all these different things that are on that four step. And that connection with my higher power really is what helped me to plow through that and to get it done. And for the first time ever, I followed fucking directions. And for the first time ever, I actually, that legitimately, I could say, like, something to that magnitude. Like, I finished something. I fucking finished it. I went to junior college for 3 years and still didn't leave with a degree. Junior college is 2 years. It took me 3 years not to leave with a fucking degree. Somebody do the math there. You know what I mean? It's like, I never finished anything. And I finished this, you know? And coming to these meetings is huge. Like, not being able to speak is really huge. Not being able to speak, listening to the guys who did it, fuck your theories and anything else, listen to the people's experience, you know? And, like, I know a lot of people, like, you know, kind of like, oh, well, you know, F them, they're cold, they're good, who cares? Like, this is where the miracle happens. This process is where it happens. This change is where it happens. You know what I mean? And it's like, I needed to shut up and listen. You know, I've been talking my whole fucking life. I needed to just shut up and listen to the people who actually did it, you know, who actually went through this process, who actually finished something, who had a spiritual experience. And I can't speak for anybody else, but I can say this. I followed directions. I stayed close to that prayer. I used the third step prayer. I got through my fourth step. I had a fifth step. I had a spiritual experience. I continued to grow, and I try to help other people to the best of my ability. I stayed true to that covenant, to that contract. And my life has changed significantly. I promise you. I used to ride my bike to the Bass River morning meeting. You know, I used to have to bum rides to get here. Things have changed. Do I fuck things up? Absolutely. You know, I have tons of amends still to make. I have, you know, a girlfriend who, like, at times likes me. You know, I can tell you this much. Love me or hate me, my life has changed significantly. And it's because of this process and this work and the work that I put into it. You know, a lot of it has to do with the gym, you know, like a parallel to the gym. You know, and I have a lot of experience with that. Having a membership that I don't use, sitting in the back looking at all the yoga pants and not getting any efforts, and those are the results I get. If you want the results in recovery, you got to do the work. You got to put the work in. You know, it's a long process, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. But that last piece of it, putting in the work and helping other people, and then the promises really started to line in. You know, it was like five years sober. I had like a meltdown because I stopped doing what I was supposed to be doing. I reconnected with my higher power, had another spiritual experience going into year 6 and 7, really dedicated my life to helping other people. And all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, that the promises really started to align. It was because I put that last piece of that puzzle in there, you know, and it took a lot of work to get there. And I almost drank because I stopped. So if you're writing, keep writing, you know. If you're on the other side of this, continue to enlarge your spiritual life, help others. You know, I stopped. That's the only reason I'm speaking about that. I stopped, and I paid a significant price for it, you know. But I was able to pull it back together. I didn't relapse. And, you know, again, if you're writing, keep writing. The word that, or the phrase they used to use is, if you put the pen down, your life will get colorful. That's a fucking understatement, you know, and I'm trying to be nice. Like, I promise you, you won't like the results if you put the pen down. So I highly suggest keep writing. Stay close to your sponsor and the men in this group. So that's it. Thank you. All right.